On the Kingston Railroad Bridge.
Oh,
he and his Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the May 7th, 2019 meeting of the Economic Development, Tourism, Housing, Planning, and Transit Committee. We'll just take a minute for the Pledge of Allegiance, if we could.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This will take a roll call, Mary.
Absolutely. Legislator Archer.
Here.
Legislator DeLon.
Here.
Legislator Mayo.
Here.
Legislator Maloney James.
Here.
Legislator Maloney Joseph.
Here.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Present.
Chairman Waltman.
Here. All right, everybody. I guess the first item we were all sent out the meeting minutes, and so is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes for the April 2nd, 2019 meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All those voting in favor to approve the minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. So we have Suzanne Holt from the Economic Development. She's here to give us an update on some of the activities of that office. Suzanne, please. Thank you.
Thank you. So I do try to come every 3 months, and this is that meeting. What we've been busy with right now, it is CFA season. So this is always our busiest time of the year, from when the governor announces that consolidated funding applications are open to this year, it's July 26th at 4 o'clock, is the deadline. And we work with businesses, nonprofits, and municipalities, all the towns and villages, on whatever we can to help them to bring the money to Ulster County. There's actually some new programs this year. The booklet is about 372 pages, and I think I'm on page 158 right now. There's a lot of the traditional grants that have always been available, as well as there are some new ones. It looks like there's some good grants available for nonprofit workforce. NISCA has, they've done this for the last few years, and we've helped TMI and a few other nonprofits to get that money that allows them to hire new staff and grow their work and their workforce. But already, I'm already talking to dozens of businesses, and they don't all apply. You know, we're at the phase right now where a lot of people call and say, I'm thinking about doing this, I'm thinking about doing that. Do you think this would be covered? Do you think that would be covered? And then depending on what they're trying to accomplish, we then go forward, helping them to either introduce them to grant writers, helping to edit grants, getting them letters of support, suggesting whatever it is that they need help with. So it really is the busy season, and as it gets closer and closer to, did I say July 26th at 4 o'clock? Which my birthday is at the end of July, and sometimes it ends on my birthday, so at least it is over long before then. But CFAs, that is really the big push right this minute. With site selection is another thing that we're really busy with. Ulster County doesn't have enough. You know, we get inquiries all the time from businesses that are looking to, are considering locating here, and we just, our inventory is not great, and so it's just been a real challenge. Right now, a lot of the businesses at Tech City, they're having all kinds of issues with Central Hudson. You may have read about that in the paper. Some of them have approached us and asked for help to find other sites. So we're spending a lot of time right now trying to help with that as well. Any questions about either of those activities?
What kind of requests are you getting? What seems to be, what is it we're missing? I mean, I know we have missing big warehousing, but I don't know, what kind of requests are you getting that we're not able to fulfill?
We'll get requests, good question, that they want municipal water and sewer, they want natural gas, they want, three-phase electricity. Mm-hmm. A lot of, they want to be ready to move in tomorrow. You know, we get a lot of, it used to be in the olden days, the lead time was 2 to 3 years, and now they say the lead time is 2 to 3 months. Mm-hmm. And so, So that's we do the best we can. Interestingly, a lot of what we've offered to all the big companies for all these years has been Tech City. So that's what we've had.
Legislative Rodriguez.
So what is happening over at Tech City?
So the way we understand it is the owner has not paid for a lot of his bills. So he hasn't paid his electric and gas in a long time. Central Hudson was threatening to cut it off. Two of the tenants, Farm Bridge and Hudson Valley Harvest, have agreed to pay the electric for everybody and then deduct that from their rent. And so that's what's moving forward as far as the electric. But then there's all kinds of other issues. He hasn't paid the guy who does the snow plowing. He hasn't. He's fired most of his team. Greg and Robert, who have been there forever, were let go this week. So it's just continuing to deteriorate. And there are about 24 businesses there. And many of them have leases. So in the past, when some of them have tried to leave, he's really held their feet to the fire and not let them go. I think at this point, you know, that ship has sailed now that he's not paying the utilities. But
how many businesses?
There's between a dozen and 24.
Oh, okay. I misheard.
So, you know, it's not our job to encourage businesses to leave. We don't get involved ever. We never get involved in landlord and tenant or, you know, owner and seller, buyer and seller relationships. We think of ourselves as the matchmaker. You know, businesses are looking for whatever they're looking for, we introduce them, or they're trying to sell whatever they're trying to sell, we help them to sell it. But once they get to a point where they're negotiating, you know, we're never involved. But there are some tenants who are, you know, very actively looking to leave, and so we're trying to help them with whatever we can, whatever introductions we can make to find them appropriate space here.
And are you able to show Kings Highway?
Yes. So that is.
It has a GDIS on it, and it has water and sewer.
Yes. No, I know, and natural gas.
Yes.
Yeah. So definitely.
They spent the money on the
question. Just so everyone is clear, the tenants did pay the rent, the utilities in
yes.
the rent.
Yes, yes.
Right.
It was just not paid to the utility company.
Right, right, right. And then the second thing was site selection. The second topic is just the opportunity zones. Ulster County has 4 census tracts that are in the opportunity zone program. 3 of them are in Kingston and 1 of them is in Ellenville. We did a few property e-blasts just on that topic. We continue to see interest, and so to the extent that we can facilitate any investment with the opportunity zones, we've been trying to do that. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about, a lot of what we do is one-on-one. Businesses call us, they ask for help, we help them. They call us, we ask for help, we help them. But what we try to do proactively are events where we talk to the business community, to a larger, you know, group of businesses who might not know that they need help specifically, but we try to bring them topics that could be useful. So I've been doing
After you're done, I was just getting Brian's attention.
Oh, a hot topic this year and last year is filming. And so Laurent and I, Laurent Recho from the Hudson Valley Film Commission, we recently did for the New Paltz Chamber of Commerce a standing room only event at their Denison Theater you know, it's trying to help businesses to get involved in the film industry. For those of you who don't know, we had created ulsterforfilm.com, so it's our film website, and it's a great resource for Ulster County businesses to sign up and property owners and whatnot, so that when the film companies come here, they can find them. And just an anecdote that just made me laugh, and so maybe it'll make you laugh. When we did this thing at the Denison Theater in New Paltz, Gretchen Reed from Mohonk Preserve, who's a huge Mohonk, a lot of films film at Mohonk, and she said, you know, she's always out there telling businesses, sign up at Ulster for film. So she was telling her manicurist, who then signed up, and then Tilda Swinson came in and got her nails done. So, I mean, my guess is Tilda Swinson was just in the neighborhood, but I love that Gretchen Reed is walking around telling everybody that Tilda Swinson was on Ulster for film, and that's why she came in. So,
A question about, you said that you have these, I wouldn't call it an expo, but you get businesses together. I've seen the advertisements online on social media. And when you bullet point on there the things that you're going to offer to show these businesses, one of the things is pilots. I assume you mean IDA pilots? So are you, as like an economic development county department that's putting something on for businesses, you're advertising pilots and, hey, you know, look into whether you can get a pilot at those events? Because I've seen it on there. I have a copy of one of those advertisements. And I was,
can you show me what you're looking at? I'm just curious.
I probably have it here, but you know, one was in Esopus. It was through the, I think, the Esopus Business Alliance. It was at one of the restaurants.
Okay, so now, right, so.
And one of the three or four bullet points of what you'll be discussing and showing people is pilots.
Right.
And I just, I mean, maybe open for discussion, you know, talking to people from Dutchess County, they keep their economic development people and the IDA very separate. That's something we chose not to do here, which is different than other counties for a long time. I just didn't know if that's what we want. We want to be out saying, hey, look to see if you're eligible for a pilot. I mean, at the end of the day, we're giving away possible.
So there's two different, different things that we're talking about. So one is these events that we do for the businesses. They're usually topic, whether it's film, whether we just
you pick
did,
a topic and
was that. So what you're referring to were what we did last year were these community economic development, where we're trying to go out to the different communities and proactively talk about all the different work that the Office of Economic Development did. So at that time, we were staffed to the IDA, and it was one of the things that we did. We haven't done one of those more recently, but the goal was, you know, a lot of people get upset about pilots when there's one coming to their neighborhood, but until then, they don't focus on it. And so the thought was to go out to the different communities and talk about, you know, pilots was one of a list of things that we did.
Yeah.
Right, and so, so that would have been.
You're not actively doing that anymore.
Well, what I am doing related to pilots is when a business comes to me and asks for assistance, if they're eligible for the IDA, we will still help them, just like I would help them with a CFA application,
yeah,
or
I just
a CDB.
I don't know if it's appropriate for the Economic Development Department to be out actively looking, you know. You know,
I'm not. When businesses come to
me, when you put that on a actual.
Well, that was last year, when that was part of what we did.
Yeah, I found it inappropriate, but that's just me, a legislator on the Economic Development Committee. I don't know if anybody else in Economic Development thinks it was a good idea that our Economic Development.
This is really.
Yeah, Suzanne, if you want to just continue your presentation.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about what we've been doing the last 3 months. That's, I come every 3 months and I talk about what we're doing. And so that's
okay.
That's older than that. So if we could just focus on the last 3 months, I'd appreciate
sure.
it. Another. Just, you know, things come across my desk, like there was a webinar that the state was doing about, or the International Economic Development Council was hosting a webinar on cannabis. And so instead of just paying for it for us to watch it for our staff, we invited a number of organizations came in. So Cornell Cooperative, for example, Amy Hepworth and her Hempworth Farms.
Oh, that must have been interesting.
So, you know, that's just something that we tried to do. We said, oh, you know, this is going to cost us $100. Like, instead of us just watching it ourselves, let's invite in anybody who can benefit from this webinar. We are putting together a breakfast right now for employee-owned businesses that are considering being employee-owned. We get a lot of interest from employees who call us and say, it looks like my boss might be retiring, want to sell the business or whatever. We want to buy it. How do we do it? I usually refer them to this guy, Matt Berlin, who has a nonprofit in Massachusetts, and this is what they do as a nonprofit. And so I've asked Matt, along with two or three of our businesses that have recently been purchased by employees, to come in and do, you know, a breakfast for that. So just always trying to come up with topics that could be interesting to businesses. I don't know if we'll get 5, 10, 100 people at that breakfast, but just, you know, always just trying to get out there and be proactive with topics that we're not seeing everybody else doing. We have another one coming up about customer service for the tourism industry in November. That seems to be a big thing that never goes away, and so just trying to find the best speaker for that right now. And then we have a few other topics in the hopper. The last thing I wanted to talk to you about is our marketing and attraction efforts. So I did bring, if it's okay with you, I just have
certainly
a few copies of our most recent newsletters. I don't think there's enough for everybody, but there's three different newsletters that are here. If you just want to look at those, we are, there's three different versions. So
different
Oh, I see.
We don't normally print them out, so if it's printed out funny, they're just, they get emailed to everybody in our database. But the goal is to focus on businesses, particularly businesses that have come from Manhattan, or New York City, I mean, and are relocating here. We are gearing up to do another bus trip. The bus trip was really the most successful thing, I guess, we've done. It kills me to say that because it is just a ton of work beyond belief, but it really has, it was successful. We did it a few years ago, and a number of businesses moved here who had been on the bus. And so we're gearing up to do that again in the fall, and in order to let New York City businesses know about this opportunity, we just have a half a dozen events that are, or 4 to 6 events that are coming up in New York City to help to get the word out.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, you know, I'm gonna dust off my my arguments from before on this issue. You know, have we ever tracked all the businesses that successfully moved here? Number one. Number two, how many of them were sole proprietors? Number three, what were the number of jobs? Number four, what were the wages, right? So meaning, I mean, it's great that we do the bus trip, but that comes at a cost, both in terms of your time as well as actual dollars. And in terms of the payoff, it's not enough, in at least in my opinion, that we're getting, quote unquote, maybe somebody who's a sole practitioner, web designer, right? You know, moving here, it's gotta be about, you know, pre-screening the individuals even getting on that bus and ensuring that the people that we're bringing up here are value add. And by value add, I mean they're actually going to be bringing in jobs that are above median income at a minimum, if not even at living wage.
Just to add to that.
Oh, no,
if you can't monitor, then you can't manage it. And there should, we've talked about this for a year now. I'm sure we've talked about it over the last 3 months. But at some point, we got to say time out. And look, we're taking credit. We do the same thing in tourism. Every tourism dollar I hear is a result of every tourism dollar we spend. How do we know that because we got some people on a bus? The other thing I'd like to point out is we're about an hour and a half from New York City. So the idea that, you know, I've said it before, that Ulster County, some hidden island somewhere, we're quite an attractive place. And, you know, just uncomfortable to see all this time and money being spent all the time. It seems like we're picking winners and losers at times with how we advertise and who we invite in. And, you know, the private sector can do all that.
Well, just get an answer to my question, because
is it tracked? Do we have any research or
so,
numbers?
I'm sorry. I feel like I didn't even realize that was a question, because I feel like I've answered this multiple times. While we haven't called every single business, we have certainly... the businesses that I've talked to who are on the bus who have moved here include some tech companies that have high, we don't ask for wage information, but for example, it's actually two businesses, it's one owner who brought two businesses, it's the pharmacy technology space, they're located in Uptown Kingston, and she's hired, you know, last time I checked it was 8 to 10 people, and she's been growing and growing, so...
But what about for this next bus trip? I'm saying, like, have we actually been pre-screening to actually ensure who's getting on that bus and also
we don't. So that's part of that. You were very instrumental in making sure that Luminary included that in their contract, and that's part of their deliverables. But we haven't gotten that far yet.
Okay.
So at this point, we're trying to get the word out to the businesses. We're doing events at places like Light Bright Neon, which has a space in Brooklyn and a space up here, and they're rock stars in that industry. We have another event planned at Brooklyn Cider, same thing, space in Brooklyn, space in New Paltz, rock stars in the community. And you yourself made it incredibly clear to Luminary that that is a priority, but it's premature to have that information. We don't know who's gonna be on the bus yet.
Okay. Do you have time for a couple more questions?
I'm here as long as you'd like.
Sure,
I'm sorry to hear that this pre-screening was included unless it allows that if there's room on the bus we can bring sole practitioners, because our focus in economic development has to be on workforce development as well. And if we want to have a tech industry in Ulster County, we're going to need individual website designers, individual graphic designers. A solo person who comes and brings a lot of talent is not only an asset as a potential consultant or subcontractor, but is also contributing to that buzz that makes the tech industry excited about a place. And we saw that in some of the previous work of the office in bringing together groups of tech leaders to work together. I think this has to be a very expansive type of economic development effort. Otherwise, we're predefining the end product in an industry that doesn't do that for itself.
All right, one more time, Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To Legislator Nolan's point, though, unfortunately, see, here's the issue. You know, it's not as if somehow we're going to go and say, oh, well, you know, we've got 40 seats on this bus, and, you know, we've only filled up 36, and we're not going to let the other four, you know, we're not going to let four of the people who are interested come on board. But when it comes to solo practitioners, we already have a certain level of being discovered and continuing being discovered, and also using other events, like, say, for example, what was formerly called Grand Central Tech. So meaning it's not necessarily just, you know, one venue, one off, but what I am saying is that in terms of the amount of work that is basically being put forward by the office, the payoff has to be towards jobs and wages, because otherwise, then, you know, it gets back to what are we doing here, right? And I think that, I know the county, the incoming county executive campaigned on the issue of wages. I know he brought up one of the myriad of issues that we've all heard about, people living paycheck to paycheck. I know he's taken it seriously. I know other candidates for office took it seriously. And obviously, I think it's something that we take seriously. So,
our Legislator Archer.
Yeah, and I think it boils down to also just, I know we've had this conversation, starting to track, you know, what are we getting? What are the returns of the investment in the bus trip? We get anecdotally, oh, this person moved here, this person. It would be helpful even to go back and say, can you give us your average salary? You hired 8 people. Great. We're so happy you're here. We're just trying to, you know, get a flavor for the successes of what's happening. It's a way of just measuring if we're going to invest in the bus trip. Are we getting a return? Sometimes, and I get economic development, sometimes you don't get the return for a year or two. It takes a while to percolate, which I get. But we've got to start capturing some data so that we can just keep an eye on and track where we're going. Are we seeing traction? Because I think that's the compelling story at the end, and particularly when it comes time to go get more money. If you can lay those things out, that it's worth the investment then.
So the other thing I just want to point out is if you're looking at what the other counties around are spending, we are by so far spending the least.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have, I think it's $100,000-$150,000 is our whole yearly budget. It's next to nothing for marketing to a place like New York City. I think that we're being really scrappy. I think that we have a lot of creative ideas that are not costing a lot of money. And when you talk about return on investment, it doesn't take a lot to get for that investment. It's such a small investment.
I'm applauding the fact that you're being scrappy and you're being thoughtful about how you're spending your money. All I'm saying is if just spending small amounts and you're getting some good traction and you're starting to capture data around what you're bringing in and all of that, if you can lay out a model for that, you can also come to the table and say, if we had a little bit more, what could you do? So I'm not suggesting you're not being scrappy or thoughtful about the money. I'm just saying I think it's important to start tracking this information so that we can see and measure success and look at where we're putting more investment dollars. And, you know, that's to your benefit. I you know, you don't want to do it. I get it. But I think it's important to start tracking some of the stuff. So
I don't think it's that I don't want to do it. I think that there's some information that I'm very comfortable asking. But wage information is not something that businesses are comfortable giving us. And so unless they have to, unless we gave them something before they could get on the bus, that they're going to have to share their wage information if they came, they don't want to share that. And so I want to be really clear, because it's not that I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of information that I'm totally happy to collect. But I don't think that there's a lot of information that businesses want to give out. And so that's just something that's a reality.
Legislator Rodriguez, one more time, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't think anyone here is going to go say, oh, well, you know, we need to make sure that we ask them if they're paying them $15.51. But, you know, but we know by type of business, we know by, to a certain degree, size of company. We know by, in certain cases, sometimes we can get payroll information. Some businesses actually are more than willing to kind of share, especially about projects going forward. You know, I've had a conversation with someone who may be interested in using the IDA and was more than comfortable talking about, you know, their payroll, which actually would place them above median income, which is exactly what we're looking for. So, I mean, you know, to a certain degree, I also understand, I'm not somehow suggesting that if they're not above $15.51, that they can't get on the bus. But at a certain point, we have to be strategic and I think a bit more, I think more, not to say thoughtful, but even but maybe a bit more focused on you know those businesses that can you know bring real value to our communities.
Thank you, and Suzanne, you have anything?
Just quick, Suzanne. Maybe something when they come here, a follow-up questionnaire to send them. Were you happy with this? You know, your wages, you know, I make it like it's a range.
Yeah.
You know, are you paying 12 to 15? Are you paying 16 to 20? And this way they're not really
so going forward.
Yeah,
and
do
yeah.
like a little questionnaire.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Them.
It's a whole
no,
different,
I think that's
for
good.
The bus trip that's coming up, there's a whole different procedure that's been set out then for the
okay.
last one.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So maybe something like
yeah.
that.
But even
okay.
the ones that actually moved here. You know,
yeah.
what's been good? I mean, you're initiating these interviews, so that could be a great opportunity.
I have some information from the ones that I've met, but I'll tell you, it was three years later, I was somewhere and someone said, did you know this one came here? So there could be more.
No,
so
I know it.
I
know it.
But I hear you. I totally hear you.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Thanks, Suzanne. Thank you very much for coming in.
Oh, yes.
On to resolutions?
Yep.
Okay. Resolution number 144, requesting that the Ulster County Industrial Development Agency, IDA, provide additional notice of public hearings to improve transparency, accountability, and ensure public trust. Can I get a motion?
Move for discussion.
Any seconds?
Second.
Bless you.
Okay.
You're running out, though.
Okay, any discussion? Legislator Nolan.
So, last month, the representatives from the IDA, as well as members of this committee, had asked that we allow time for some gathering of information about how this information is already provided. I haven't received anything from anyone that adds to the information I had. That is that
what
we
is
don't currently do what this resolution would ask the IDA to do.
Do you have a package?
The same is true of the next one. So I just say that if that information were available, it should have been sent to me, and so I would appreciate the committee moving this forward, and let's get the policy in place and have people do what people around this table last month said. Of course, we're already
right,
doing.
But just for clarification, we're not. This isn't a policy. This is a memorializing
it's not a policy,
resolution.
I was gonna say, first and foremost, I was going to say this is not a policy. We cannot direct the IDA to go do anything. Now, obviously, now
they
the resolution itself. Now, the resolution itself does say requested, which of course is appropriate. Therefore, it's actually memorializing, right? So, the resolution itself is actually not in there. So, you know, that said, I believe they have a meeting. Have a meeting
tomorrow
Mr. Chair, is that correct?
Tomorrow morning, yes.
Okay. So maybe we can, obviously, I was not at the last meeting, maybe there's, you're fine, don't worry. only him do I die, do it. You know, this may be a thing, Mr. Chair, where, I don't know, they were here at the last meeting, I'm assuming they would have heard the debate or the discussion. Maybe that's something where
yeah.
you may, maybe you can reach out as chair of the committee mm-hmm. just to kind of go and see where we're at on this.
Okay, Legislator Archer.
I think they were doing everything with the exception of a video or audio of their meeting.
Which
so everything else they were doing, and I think they implemented the last meeting I was at, there was a tape recorder on the table.
Okay, so they are.
I know they're still working on the website, and
they don't even have staff right now.
Their current website isn't equipped to upload audio at this juncture, but
okay.
it is available. So,
okay.
You know, or more a memorializing resolution on something they're already doing. I just don't see the value.
Legislator Jim Maloney, please.
Just a question to Legislator Nolan. Are you asking, I mean, there's obviously laws that they have to post their meetings if they have a public hearing in as a particular municipality. It's public information. It's public.
Mm-hmm. So this,
I don't understand. No, where I'm going,
we already
just
talked about this. Uh-huh.
Do you want them to do more than the
yes
anybody else has to do?
Yes, because we have had complaints that, for example, at the school district in which a project is proposed, has not been notified because that's not required, or that the legislator of the district in which a project is going to go forward has not been notified. So what the first resolution, which is the one we should address first, says is that they should have a policy to I'm sorry, maybe I'm already on the second one here. Yes. The first one says to provide notice to the clerk of the Ulster County Legislature and affected school districts of public hearing concerning projects within their jurisdiction. And all they have to say is, yes, we will do that. They cannot say, as they did, that they're already doing that, because they're not.
Let's clear the job.
I think they send it to Jay now, right?
Yep.
And they said, certainly, if you want us to send it to Vicki, I think there's a list of, it was something like 350 people.
Well, that's countywide of all the...
Yeah, for the notification or
something. There's something in Sorry, they sent a certified letter.
Yeah.
That there's going
to
be a hearing.
I sat
to
with
the town of Saugerties.
The Saugerties school superintendent the other day and asked
the county
if he's been aware.
Okay,
and has
but not
been.
To the school board.
No.
So this,
and
that's
yes,
true.
To the school
yes,
board. We went
of
through
course.
This last meeting. They named
and most
all
of
those
them,
people.
Kathy, to be honest with you, from
yeah.
years of this,
Jim explained this to
they
him.
Sit on a desk.
Yeah.
They got to
yeah.
open them.
That actually happened. No. That actually happened on Park Point, remember?
So... If this is in their policies, as they claimed, then I would like them to send that policy to me. It is not in the policy that I have found online. So all it
And when
would
did you
take,
last look?
Yesterday or the day before in preparation for this meeting?
Noticing.
But it's state.
So,
like Jim said, state.
Okay.
Well,
it was
question.
So,
if I could, real quick, I think what Rick Jones offered up was we can. So these 300 and some odd people that are getting it, that we follow state law. Well, they named a bunch of the people that you named. They said, well, we do. I think Jim pointed out that all these people that we're talking about actually do get them, and there's a lot of cases where they get all these different things, and they don't even realize they get it while sending it to them. They're getting it sent to them. What Mr. Jones said was, if it would make you happy or make you more comfortable to see it on when they get their website up and running fully, to see it written out where they send it. It's not going to change who gets it because everybody's getting it. And we went through everyone that you named, except for I think Jay instead of Vicki gets it. But we can change that. I mean, if you'd like.
So that it goes out to every legislator, because legislators serve as a point of communication to their districts.
Yeah, I think
and
we could get that to happen without something like this.
I'm gonna,
one other,
okay.
I believe,
thanks,
they said
Suzanne, correct me if I'm wrong, the school district, the county, and the legislature, the chairman of the legislature gets a public notice.
Mm-hmm.
That document should be shared with everyone.
It's posted. It's
one
a
more
list
time,
of
let's let her know.
So it's already
every meeting, we have a lot of agreement that all of this should happen. It was my position that it should be in a policy that our IDEA has that they will do this, so everybody knows what's happening. And it is specifically the important improvement, I think, is getting it to the clerk of the legislature. I don't know why they go to Jay. She's
okay.
not named
if I could, Legislator Rodriguez, one more time, then we're going to call the question.
Well, actually, no. Well, what I was going to suggest, Mr. Chairman, is merely that at this juncture, I would probably recommend, considering that, I mean, obviously the IDEA is not here,
mm-hmm.
That postponement may be in order, but also on top of that, not to... I don't want to be dismissive of the concern, but that may be either a letter or you maybe tomorrow physically showing up there to go and have that conversation. I don't want to go put you on the spot, so maybe an email or or a letter from you as chair of the committee just asking about this and ensuring how noticing is happening and what their noticing requirements are.
I'll copy everyone. I can't be at their meeting tomorrow morning.
I'm going to be there though.
Will you? Okay, I can't be. I haven't been over
here. So at this time, I will move Mr. Chair to go and postpone resolution 144.
144.
So that would be the second postponement.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And this time I object.
Well, then call the question.
Okay, all those in favor of postponing?
She's objecting to
all right,
so let's just call the question.
Motion and a second.
Okay, motion.
Okay, so you just want to vote on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
Call the question. All those in favor of voting up. All those approving resolution 144, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? Motion is defeated. Okay, resolution.
I still request you just to go and send out the letter.
Yep, we'll do.
Yep, and I'll still bring it up tomorrow.
Okay.
Resolution 145, next resolution, requesting that the Ulster County Industrial Development Agency, IDA, post audio or video recordings of all open meetings and public hearings on the IDA's website to improve transparency, accountability, and ensure the public trust. Moved. Is there a second?
Second for discussion.
Second.
Short discussion.
Discussion.
So I would just say that it's great that they put a tape recorder on the table and they're making recordings. That's a step in the right direction. The introduction of the resolution had a benefit. It would be the purpose of this resolution that tape recording would be posted, because people do not get the same sense of a meeting from the minutes that they do from recordings as we have in all our legislative meetings. So I would like the IDA to have a policy of doing that. I don't understand why having such a policy would be controversial.
Okay, first legislator Archer, then legislator Rodriguez.
Expressly said at the meeting when we talked about it, they were going to do it. I went to the next meeting. They were doing it. The only issue they have, as I said earlier, is that they're in the midst of building their new website, and where they're at temporarily, it does not accommodate uploading the audio. So they are moving in that direction. You can request, I'm sure you can request a copy of the meeting, but they did it. So.
And they have a policy to.
Legislator Rodriguez.
So, Mr. Chair, I will probably be asking you to add this to your letter, but in addition, I would probably then also be urging you to ensure that the clerk and any others are available to assist them in getting those audio files up on the website, simply because at this point, I agree that it's, I think, a great step that they actually are recording those meetings, and that they are, I mean, if it's for a lack of technical expertise, you know, if there is any way that we can be assisting them in that, I think that would be great. And in addition, I think you should also be urging them to be updating regularly. So, ensuring that every month's meeting is actually up on the web.
Let's let her know.
I don't think that the Ulster County can do that at this point, because we're not contracted with them to provide those services. And that would be an unconstitutional gift to have that work done. They have their own website now, right?
Well, the question, I mean, because it can't be a gift to another government entity. All right, let's call the question.
All those in favor of approving resolution 145, signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? I pause there for the suspense. Okay.
You built that moment.
You're funny, Karen.
I felt it. Let's get married about that.
Save for this.
Look at that face.
Oh, resolution. The resolution failed. 145 failed 6-1. Okay. Resolution 146, establishing a policy for the appointment of members to the Ulster County Industrial Development Agency, the IDA. Can I have a motion? I'll move it. Any second? Hearing none. So there was no second. Okay. Move on to Resolution 179, restricting Chamber of Commerce memberships paid for with Ulster County funds. Can I get a motion?
Do we have to open it up to postpone it?
I'm sorry, what was the question? No, like, if it's his, I think he can just say...
I'd like to talk about it in caucus and see what people... This is something I put up last year.
Do we have to...
As symbolic as it is.
Say we're going to move for discussion and then postpone it?
As a sponsor, he can...
I think we should... Maybe we should just do it.
I mean, for formality's sake, I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Okay.
We're going to postpone it.
And postpone?
And I move to postpone, Mr. Chair.
Sponsor.
And a sponsor. Okay. All those in favor of postponing Resolution 179?
Aye.
So, onward. Okay, Resolution Number 181, establishing a policy requiring the generation and distribution of pilot program tax bills to the Ulster County Industrial Development Agency and local municipalities. Can I have a motion,
I'll
please?
Move it.
Second.
Any discussion? Legislator Archer.
I just want to let everyone know this is a practice that was, you know, recommended by the state comptroller, the ABO board. I had a conversation with Burke. They're continuing to do it. They do a good job with it. This is really just codifying what they're already doing. You know, we don't know what changes are coming down, and so we just thought, let's put a policy in place, and he was fine with it. He made a couple of changes, and, you know, so this is something he supports as well.
Let's clear it, John Maloney.
This is an example of taking a procedure and making it a policy. Yeah. So I'm in complete support of it.
Good.
Any other discussion? Let's clear Jim Maloney.
Excuse me. Probably because I received about 7 or 8 of those, I should probably abstain.
But I'm sure you appreciate them.
Well, yes, it came to light probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, where there were...
People were applying formulas differently, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So. We'll call the question then. All those in voting in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Abstain. Any opposed?
We have one abstention.
One abstention. Okay. Okay. Passed 6-2-0. Thank you.
With one abstention.
Legislator Jim Maloney. Resolution 182. Authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into an agreement with the City of Kingston to implement shared tourism services, Department of Tourism. I would get a motion for this, please.
Second.
Whichever.
Any discussion on this? We have Mr. Remsnyder is here from tourism.
There's quite a box.
And it's a great location, I understand, Lower Broadway. So, did you have anything you'd like to add on this, to this resolution, Mr. Remsnyder?
Yes, you know, Mr. Chairman, sorry I was a little late because hot off the presses. Is our new travel guide.
So I want to make sure that
each one of the committee members got one. So let's pass them along.
The
map in the middle. I have to say, I give these to people new to the county that are just moving here from outside the county. They love this. They love the map. They love all the information. It's really a great tool. Yeah. So.
Well, I appreciate that. And I really love the cover. This year is a nice picture of kayaking and Hudson, and Saugerties. And just so you know, we have some fantastic photographers in the county, and we sort of have a little contest and to pick out the best photographs. And this year that one won, and the photo was by Gail Porter, the owner of iPanel. So we have a tourism advisory board that also gives input on the travel guides. So it's been been very successful over the years.
Legislator Rodriguez.
I think I'd like to demand an investigation because, you see, in the golf section, it seems like there are only New Paltz area golf courses shown, and I think that there may be a certain level of personal bias by the director of tourism in the selection of these particular photographs, and I'm deeply troubled by this information.
Moving along.
No answer.
They are New Paltz golf courses. Yeah, but they're actually, I have to say that Today Media, our firm that did the guide, gave us those.
I will say
there is some really good news. I'm sure some of you must have read in the paper that Shuangong Country Club was very close to being closed. They're going to sell it for low income housing. So I'm thrilled that the village of Ellenville stepped up, and they're going to, it's actually open now, and they're going to not only golf, but also winter sports. And from my understanding, talking to the mayor, Jeff Kaplan, I think they're going to change it to the Gump. So we'll drop the country club because it will no longer be a country club.
Yeah.
It's be a public facility. So that was a real boon for Ellenville and the county, because we have lost some golf courses. Well, I'm glad to see, I saw the paper the other day, Dots Valley Resort has been sold, so I'm hoping that maybe that golf course will reopen at some point. And I know Rondell is closed this year, but they're planning to reopen 9 holes next year, along with Boynton Spa and the other things they're going to have there. So
okay.
Thank you, Rick.
So we
terminated a contract before it was over and started a new one that I assume is fairly similar.
It's the same.
Oh, but we terminated. We didn't let it. It didn't end.
That's the language that they use.
Do we know it?
Yeah, we asked the question. Mary and I caught that earlier because it sounded like it was changing, but it's really not. All it is that it was up for 1 year and it had 2 extensions allowable. Now those extensions have been exhausted, and so this is a new. So it's the same.
It
Mary did
it. It's ending, and we're just starting.
It's
yes.
ending,
we're
and we're starting doing
midway.
The same thing
yeah.
for 1 year with 2 possible extensions. So everything else is the same. That's what we got.
And
right?
The city is all yes, correct.
Right.
The city's always been very supportive of when it started out with Mayor Gallo
yep.
and.
Oh, it was Gallo, not Jimmy.
So now Mayor Noble's also indicated his support, and looking forward to renewing that contract.
Okay, so on the question, all those in favor, please signify by voting aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passed 7-0. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You, Rick.
Okay, resolution number 183, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, RUPCO Incorporated, Department of Planning. And a motion to second. Okay,
second.
And Mr. Dennis Doyle, our county planner, is here. If we may get some information from him related to this resolution.
Sure. This contract is a result of a community development block grant award to the county for housing rehabilitation for $600,000. RUPCO is a sub-recipient under that contract, so they're responsible to deliver for program delivery and direct homeowner assistance. This includes about $498,000 of direct homeowner assistance. Program delivery funds payable to RUPCO are $82,000, and there's an administration charge in there as well. That administration covers some of the expenses that are necessary in terms of filing fees, et cetera, by RUPCO. Mm-hmm. RUPCO fronts this money and then seeks reimbursement at a later date. Ulster County also is receiving about $15,000 for administration. The cap on these housing rehabilitation contracts is about $30,000. We anticipate that we'll do about 20 units. Last time we had the contract, they exceeded their number. RUPCO currently has a wait list on these of about 71 seniors plus 44 disabled households is currently on their wait list. This facility can't, these funds cannot be used in the city of Kingston. because the city of Kingston is a recipient of community development block grants in their own right. So it's a scattered site. We anticipate that we'll be working in about 23 municipalities instead of outside the city of Kingston.
Dennis, I have a question. What's the average amount of assistance that a homeowner would receive out of
$20,000 with a cap of $30,000.
And these are awarded in the forms of zero-interest loans?
Zero-interest loans, and if the, I got to remember the exact word.
I think 5 years?
Yeah, if the lien, what ends up happening is we actually, RUPCO actually files a lien on the property to make sure that it's not flipped during the time that the loan, you have to be income eligible in order to receive it. If it's less than, I believe it's 15, don't hold me to these numbers, if it's less than $15,000, it's a 5-year lien. If it's over $15,000, it's a 10-year lien. And if during that time it's sold to another individual that is income eligible, it simply flips over. If it's sold to a party that is not income eligible, that funding is recaptured. Okay. If during the course of a year, more than $35,000 is recaptured, that money then goes back to the city. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Legislator Rodriguez, then Legislator Archer.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Dennis, how much is our administrative fee?
$15,000.
Okay, so if the county wanted to, we actually could forego our administrative fee or potentially roll that into the program, correct?
Yes, but understand there's...
So, just hold on.
We would have to see
If we want to editorialize, just give me a second. Let me just have my next question. Okay. So, you know, because of the nature of the program, at this point for the past decade, RUPCO has de facto been our CDBG application for 10 years. And so as a result, you know, you have multiple partners, so to speak, taking administrative fees. At this point, Kathy Germain is the one who does the application. And you know, they are doing the legwork, so you know, it is sort of what it is. But if that's the point, then if we need to go do a budget modification to go and put that $15,000 back into the program, you know, one of my concerns has always been that you have multiple entities, so to speak, taking an administrative fee. And so I just wanted just to verify that we could in fact put that $15,000, especially considering that each of these loans are approximately $20,000, right? We could put that money back on the street, so to speak.
You could move it to direct homeowner assistance.
Sure.
I would say that the allowable soft cost for these projects is somewhere is 20%, with a recommended at 18%. Our allowable soft costs right now are 17%. So we're on the low end of fees associated with program delivery and for administration.
Okay, Legislator Archer, please.
I'm just a little confused on the math, if you can help me.
Sure.
If it's 585, 498 is what's going to RUPCO.
Right.
That leaves us 87. You just said 15 goes to the county and 82 to RUPCO. That doesn't
add
up.
Let me break it down for
you. Okay, thank you.
The 585 to RUPCO is based on $498,000 in direct homeowner assistance. That's money that goes directly to the homeowner to do the necessary improvements.
480 what?
498.
498.
498. Okay, right. Great, thank you.
The $82,000 is for program delivery. That's a fee that RUPCO charges to do the work. And then there's a $5,000 administration fee that covers other costs that RUPCO has associated with this.
So
that gives you the $585. And then the $15,000 to Ulster County as an administration fee gives you the total of $600,000.
Oh, where did the 6 come in? I missed the 6.
I don't know.
That's not it. That 6
yet.
Is nowhere on this document. That's
here.
Why the numbers aren't.
That's the number.
I know, but the
Legislator Jim Maloney, please.
Just a question to Mr. Doyle. When your budget is prepared every year, is that money included?
No. This is
not considered a part of your budget.
No, it runs through the B portion of the budget. So it's a pass-through at a federal level, so it doesn't run in the county planning department's budget.
So this is why there's a disconnect. In the actual resolution, it speaks to 585. It doesn't account for your administrative fee at the county level.
That's because the contract is directly to RUPCO for that number.
I see. Okay.
That's the contract amount.
But then it's not reflected anywhere else. So we're not capturing that 15 anywhere.
Yeah, we captured it in the contractual work that we do with the state. So if you look at the budget modifications that we did with respect to the original resolution, I believe it's in there. It's between the county's contract, between the state and the county.
Okay. Any other discussion? I will call the question. All those in favor of resolution of approving resolution 183, please signify by voting yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Any opposed? And excuse me, Legislator John Maloney, were you a yes on this?
I said yes.
Yes, okay, I didn't hear you, sorry.
As
long as it's clear. Thank you. That's approved then 7-0. Resolution 184, scheduling a public hearing as required under Article 25AA of the New York Agriculture and Markets Law on the addition of lands to agricultural districts to be held June 18th, 2019 at 7:05 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the public can be heard, and providing direct notice to affected municipalities, Department of Planning.
Mm.
Do we have a second? She moved. Okay, I'll second it.
Okay.
For discussion. I just want to speak on it. That's all.
Okay. We'll let you speak first, then, Legislator Rodriguez. Then we'll consult Mr. Doyle.
So, has the Farmland Preservation Board met to discuss these parcels?
No, they have not. They're going to meet on the 23rd of this month, and they will produce a recommendation letter as required under the statute back to the legislature. For consideration.
How are you then? You're then basically putting a resolution in front of us that the Farmland Preservation Board hasn't yet approved.
It's the calling of the public hearing. It's not the recommendations associated with that.
But how many parcels are we talking about here?
We have 7 parcels that are that have applied, constituting somewhere in the neighborhood of about 93 acres, and they are in Sopus, New Falls, Worsing, and Rochester.
And Jim, you're on the Preservation Board now, so
yeah, this is what we've been doing now.
No, I'm saying we actually had meetings before this resolution.
I don't believe that's the case. We generally call the public hearing, given the time frames involved. The Farmland Protection Board meets, and then next month you'll see a resolution with the recommendations from the Farmland Protection Board in front of the legislature.
Mr. Doyle, when was the last time the Farmland Preservation Board met?
Off the top of my head, they met to consider applications for...
Possibly July?
Yeah, they meant to consider applications relative to purchase and development rights, which they have to endorse relative to the those farmland grants that come down from the state.
And one last thing, if I may, Mr. Chairman, thank you for your indulgence. So, Mr. Doyle, what is the status of the Farmland Preservation Protection Plan?
The Farmland Protection Plan? Yeah. We have working on an application to the state to update it. There is money in the County Planning Department's budget to go through that update. We have not filed that application yet. It's a continuing funding round. The current Farmland Protection Plan, I believe, is from the 90s.
That we agree upon, yes, I know. But so you're telling me right now we haven't made the application.
We have not made the application. Okay. We've had a work program discussion with Ag and Markets, but we have not filed the application.
Okay, any other discussion on this? Call the question. All those in favor of approving resolution number 184, please signify by voting aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Resolution passes 7-0. On to new business. We have 2 items on the new business. Can I ask for Legislator Joe Maloney if he would mind? We took the second new business item first since Mr. DeLeon is here. And so I would invite Mr. Joe DeLeon to please. We all received in our packets this updated redline version of the IT. Was it the Ulster County Information Services Technology Security Policy? It's 85 pages long. I'm sure we all haven't gotten through it, but I would ask Mr. DeLeon if he would please go over some of the highlights of some of the red line changes that are in this new policy. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman.
Sure.
Thanks everybody for their time and giving me the
support and especially your patience in us putting this together. The IT Secure policy current to date, the current policy that we have is almost the legal drinking age. So we really want to try and get this done as quickly as possible and to make sure that we cover all of the current different threats and vulnerabilities that are out there. So with that being said, with the recommendations that ISO and Hanford, they took a look at the draft policy that was provided and they made some recommendations for changes or some additions. One of the things was awareness training, which we already had in there. There was some things that they recommended that were just not labeled what they had labeled. So we already had a section in there for training, but we called it awareness training and made sure to call out what types of awareness training that would consist of. Phishing, social engineering, passwords, malware, ransomware, things like that. So we included that into the policy, just to really specifically call those different types of things.
So it's terminology then?
Yes. Well, terminology and then also just to ensure that it's covered. And something that we already do today. So since summer of last year, we incorporated cyber awareness training into our Ulster County annual training that's given by personnel. So we provide a member of our team to go there and like I said, since last summer, we've trained over 1,100 county employees in cyber awareness training. So that's something that we already do. It's just memorializing it, codifying it here in the policy. That was one of the sections, clean desk policy. So that's, essentially we incorporated that. That's really just good physical security. So if you leave your desk at the end of the day, you don't leave information on your desk that's personally identifiable information. It could be financial information, what have you. That information is locked away. And so we incorporated into our policy as well. It was not there previously. So it was a good suggestion. The next thing was hardware disposition. So we have procedures in place within Ulster County's Information Services Department. So from spanning the life cycle of a piece of equipment, whether it be a laptop, desktop, printer, what have you, it'll go out there, be in service for, 3 to 5 years, if not longer. And then what do we do with that piece of equipment once it's reached its end of life, whether it be for operating system no longer is functional or no longer contemporary, or it's just it just doesn't have the requirements to continue with servicing the employees. So we take that piece of equipment and we ensure that it's sanitized, any kind of removable media storage. We degauss that in our Information Services Department. We have a degausser. So essentially, you take the media, insert it, it demagnetizes everything in there, and then we crush it. So we have that. And then it's taken to Ulster County Resource Recovery for e-waste recycling. So that's essentially the breakdown of hardware disposition. But it also includes the auditing. Every time that piece of equipment is moved, it's audited within our inventory system, asset management system. So it's tracked every step of the way, where it goes, who it belongs to, and then just the disposition, down to the disposition once it's taken off the rolls. email retention, that was included as well. I would pay particular attention to that because that is, there's a lot of legal ramifications. So what we did is we looked at the CO2, what the county clerk uses for records retention and archiving. So a lot of that information, when you look at our email, our current policy is we don't get rid of anything, but that becomes costly. Over the years, it's going to be unsustainable. We're talking maybe 5-10 years down the road, but we're going to be investing money in storage for just information that's really may not be needed. And actually may become a liability in some case. If you have that information, lawyers may not want to hear this, but if you have that information, there's really not a need to have that information. And you could be more, it's more of a liability. Yes?
So do you differentiate the types of things that should be maintained for an extended period of time and the things that can be eliminated after a period of time?
Yes, so we actually, you know, we don't make up that policy. That's
right.
That's basically, we refer to the CO2, which is the records retention policy that the clerk uses, and that's there for local, state, county governments. So we really just, as an IT policy, we refer to that. You know, there's things like if you get an email and it's based on a capital project or something, those are supposed to be held indefinitely. So it's up to the user. However, we're looking at where we can then, if there's any kind of plugins to our Microsoft Exchange, you know, environment, our email environment, where we can, the user can then classify it, you know, okay, check that that's to be held indefinitely, this is junk mail, whatever, so that after 120 days, 90 days, I forget what the policy says, that's just then purged. Right. If it's spam, it's junk.
Or even a matching, because if you got five people who were copied on that same email,
yes, and
they're all saving it, right?
And that's the other thing. So based on the CO2, if it's sent to you directly, if it's part of a distro, you don't hang on to it at all. It doesn't matter what it is. But if it's sent to you directly and it pertains to a certain category, then that's supposed to be preserved.
And that's already defined? I didn't get a chance to look at it, so that's defined in this, or you're just referring to that
in
the context of this?
I believe it's in there, but we also make reference to the CO2, what our current, what we use, what the clerk uses for record retention and archiving.
Okay.
Because, yeah, we don't, we from an IS, I mean, we don't make that policy, that's
right.
Already there. And then network monitoring, we call it audit and accountability. They call it network monitoring. It kind of falls under the same, but you know that's in there as a red line section as well. And then we've actually instituted a lot more within the department as far as network monitoring tools. It's kind of like insurance. You know, in case something does happen, then we do have something running in the background that audits us as a department, like who has. Who's adding permissions or groups and all that, and then also it's insurance in case we ever need to go to the tapes. So, and we now have that in place. And then the last one that was recommended was mobile device management. So that's essentially, you know, like iPads, cell phones, even laptops, essentially, to incorporate a centralized management system for those devices so that we can then secure them, encrypt them, locate them if they're lost and they have either a 4G LTE connection or a connection to Wi-Fi. We can then do that. If somebody lost their iPad, if a legislator misplaced their iPad, we can, you know, go find my iPad, find my iOS device and let you know, well, it looks like it's in the county office building. You know, where were you last? Or if it's at a cafe, we can tell, you know, where it is, if it's picked up, it still has that Wi-Fi connection. So that's what essentially what that section pertains to, is the mobile device management. And we have instituted that within the department using a third-party application. And you know, the policy itself is it is comprehensive, but you know, obviously this is something that's going to have to be reworked, if not annually, close to it, because threats change, vulnerabilities change,
technology changes.
By the time we actually approve it, it'll be out of date.
Right. So essentially, we'll, you know, it won't be a total rewrite, but we'll make modifications and reference whatever changes are made, and say like the cover, you know, within the first few pages of the document from the user, unless there's a massive rewrite.
Okay, so thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Any other questions for Joe?
Well, we're going to have some time to review.
Well, that's
right.
Yeah, definitely.
Be for next month? Okay, good.
Yeah, certainly.
I'll bring up something from the audit committee in one sec if Joe could hang out the first of the course.
Yeah. And also, the current policy was August 19th of
1999.
Yeah.
We should research that one.
All right.
Okay, well, thank you.
I was worried about pager security. Are we
pager security? No, we're
okay, next.
We're probably the most secure.
That's the question. I know.
Okay, I'm going to recognize legislator Joe Maloney. Have the
this
discussion
is just
the
about
idea.
The email that I sent out about verifying data, revising the UTEP, considering two lawyers, and the idea that everybody got that email, right? It's five or six different things we sent.
I sent it out.
I didn't know if anybody had any thoughts. It was along the lines of what legislator Nolan was doing through these memorializing resolutions, but just, I mean, I would prefer to do it, especially how open the IDA members, as legislator Archer had kind of mentioned a couple of times, that we've talked to them. They're pretty honest about what they feel is the right thing to do. When they agree with us, they agree with us. They've been pretty transparent over the last year and a half that I've been here. And it was just I think there were seven things I sent out. I didn't know if anybody had any thoughts. I wouldn't mind having maybe a meeting and bringing the IDA back in and seeing how they feel about what legislator Nolan has brought up again and what is here. But I think it's up to them. I think them knowing, you know, I don't think we have to do anything officially and publicly, but them knowing this is how a lot of legislators feel, or and seeing how they feel about it, I don't know.
I think these are all the items that you brought up at the last meeting.
Yeah.
I already know.
I had mentioned some, so I sent them out an email. I think Brian had asked me to send that an email.
Right.
So that's what I did.
I know that they, because I was just at a meeting of, but I know that the audit committee met and they are revising the UTEP. And
yep.
They're bringing it, I think, before the board tomorrow.
It's the governance committee.
That's what it is. Yes, sorry, thank you. Audit, then it went to governance, and then, and they met for several hours reviewing and kind of applying their new thought process. So I'm not sure where they're at on any of these, but I think they're working on most of them.
If you're bringing anything up of legislator Nolan tomorrow, perhaps pass that
I'm going to bring up I'm going to bring her three resolutions and get feedback.
Feel free to hand that off as well.
Okay.
I didn't know this was going to be on new business. I will say that I've talking to some of the IDA members, they wouldn't mind us and it's kind of in regards to one of the things I mentioned here, but we ask Resolution 157 of 2012, we get a report from the IDA. It's kind of a rewrite of the Paris report, but it is a kind of a rewrite. I think they put it in some of it in readable terms for the legislature. We have it due on the same date. They do the Paris report, then they pull information from the Paris report. It's kind of a different layout. I think it's a little more readable for us, and then they send it off. Having it due on the same date, I think, Jim, you could probably speak to it. I think that report comes in late a lot. Anyways, I just think it could be a quick, easy amendment to move that.
I think it comes in a month late anyway, every time.
Change that date. I think they'd appreciate they mentioned to me. I don't see why we couldn't do that as well. I don't know if that's something to write up in the future and vote on. Have it do.
Well, it's probably a good idea to pull the resolution and see if it could be amended.
I'll pull it. I'll find out, and then I'll bring it up, and we can vote on it. It seemed pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, this is.
Let's say Rodriguez.
I'm big on the system. I wasn't here at the last meeting, so I'm assuming you brought all these up at the last meeting, Joe.
Yes. Do you have the email?
Yeah. No, I do. Several of these I think are important. You know, I mean, we had a potential applicant for the IDA where had we actually done a background check, we would have found that they were involved in wage theft. You know, in New York City. You know, it's stuff like that where, you know, but for individual members themselves sort of doing research on different companies, you know, you begin to kind of like realize like what's sort of behind, you know, because remember they're coming here and they're filling out an application, but we're not necessarily going in depth as to who some of these, you know, potential partners are, right? So I mean, I think that this is, it's a good start. I mean, there's a couple of other stuff in here. Obviously, number six is sort of just quite candidly is that's the devil in the details. So we start talking about the actual UTEP.
I'm getting to it.
It's the UTEP. So
and,
you know,
and they're already working on.
And they are. No,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, and I know. I think they actually have had conversations. I think in each of these areas. So I don't think it's.
Have they discussed openly about having a second lawyer or some ideas?
I mean, I don't know if they're going down that route, but I know that they're at least just having conversations. I think about just understanding the relationship of how, you know, what you don't want to have happen. And I'm not saying that this is what it is, but what you don't want to have happen is that, you know, if the lawyer gets paid off of the bonds.
Yeah.
Then he has a vested interest in seeing the project happen.
Exactly.
Because he gets paid off of the bonds, right? So, you know, that's where, you know, you have to make sure, you know, how that relationship sort of works, you know.
Yeah, but if you're doing 10 times the business, like if you're doing the kind of business that Orange County is, that makes sense having two attorneys.
Sure.
I mean, I think they're going
to
have to determine.
Not a real
cost. I mean, this is
it.
Like a... Well, I mean, we'll let them sort of, you know, work this out. We're not going to go in. We can't. Number one, we can't tell them to do anything.
No, that's what I
mean.
That's why I think you put it off to them, and sometimes it helps them. They got a million things they're working on. And
suggestions.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. No, they're doing a lot of work.
So they'll have my.
Yeah, I'll
email.
Bring that forward. I'm bringing the resolutions to them and asking them for an update on the status of all of this.
Yep. Okay.
If that's all right with you, if you want anything
that's
else?
That's fine. That's fine. So, thank you. Good discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any old business?
You want a motion to stop this?
Mary
Blank.
What's that? You want a motion
to stop? Sure. Is there a motion to adjourn, please?
Oh, well, I have one more thing. So the management letter we get from the end of the year auditor has the recommendations, which is what we're paying $60,000-$70,000 for ultimately, is those recommendations. They've recommended our disaster recovery plan, which I know Mr. DeLeon is working on. So I passed this, since Economic Development oversees IS, I passed along what we had talked about. I kind of clearing the audit committee slate of that and handing it off to you. I think we sent a phone, sent you an email on that.
She did.
And but it's a big thing. I have what we had paid, I think just about $40,000 for in 2012. I don't know what the firm's name was that did it. I don't know if, I think Legislator Archer pointed out some of that might be kind of out of date at this point. I know you're working on it. I think this is something maybe to touch on each economic development meeting, and maybe you could give us where you're at. I have your draft. It's thick, and but it needs to be finished, formalized, communicated, and then adopted. It's going to be, I assume, part of supervisor training. There's a lot of logistics to this, getting it done, and then once it gets done. But I think of the management letter, it was something that stuck out to a lot of us as something we do need to keep following through on, and hope by the end of the year that this can kind of be implemented and memorialized as an actual policy.
Right. So I had a discussion with Mark Ryder, and this is one of the things, kind of like the next big thing, right?
Yep.
We have the IT security policy. When you talk business continuity, disaster recovery from an IT perspective is a portion of what business continuity is, right? So the business continuity is the overall health and sustainment of the organization in the event of a man-made natural disaster, mm-hmm. cyber attack, you know, what have you. And then the disaster recovery aspect of that business continuity plan is, how do we restore? How do we get, whether it be, ransomware attack or something, how do we bring the backups of all that data over so that minimize the loss of data at work? So right now, disaster recovery, I feel confident that if something were to happen, we can, within IS, we can reestablish that. The problem is there's not really an overarching business continuity plan to say, how do we prioritize in the event of an emergency? So who comes up first? who's, you know, what are the response times, what are the response time objectives to bring, you know, different various departments out first, and then who's last, so that when there is that if something happens, the people that are first are the first ones that IS is dealing with to help them restore their services, you know, public safety, and then so everybody else, if you're last, don't even pick up the phone, don't even call IS, because we're focused on getting those essential services up and running, to save lives, so for human health. So I talked to Mark about that. We're going to put together a team. I'm going to kind of lead the process. It'll be probably me, Steve Peterson, and some people from the sheriff, various members of the departments. And what we'll do is we'll kind of put that framework together so that we can start collecting data from the departments as to what are their essential services, what do they do, what's important to them, and then what applications do we support that would need to be recovered quickly in that. So it's really when you talk disaster recovery, I'm confident we can bring back your data. We can do that. When it's business continuity, who's in line first? That's really, that's something that that we need to know, just so that we can focus on getting the services restored. However, we don't make the decision as to who's first, right? So it's got to be a group effort,
collective
effort from the entire county to say who's going to be number one, who's going to be last, and then for somebody to, with that decision making authority, to slap the table and say yes, we have a plan.
We could probably take a look at other counties that have completed it and see.
Yes.
We don't have to agree with them,
right,
but it gives us a starting point. But if you could give us an update, maybe monthly, if you agree, just so I know this is going to be in this year's management letter, and just so I can pass along that progress, and hopefully towards the end of the year or early next year, we can have that completed, and then the following year's management letter will have that checked off. But I do realize how, once I started, it wasn't something I had ever thought about personally, but once I started looking into it, that jumped out at me as probably the most involved and difficult to properly be done, and I know how it's going to involve a lot. So
it's cat herding is what it is. So, yes, I agree.
Okay, thank you. Any old business?
Anything else from anyone? Your motion is adjourned.
A second?
Are you sure?
All in favor.
All right.
I don't know. We've actually had Maloney and Maloney on the same resolution.
We're adjourned.
We're on a lot of them.
Only. No. In which you
Thank
made the
you.
Motion and you seconded it, or the order.